church. How are we all going? I mean, I hope you're all going well. I probably can't get an answer from everyone. I am super excited to be here with you guys this morning and to just share with you guys the message that I believe that God has placed on my heart for us in this Christmas season. Now, our title for our sermon today is called Following the Star. And so we're going to be looking at that journey that the Magi take when they go to meet and worship baby Jesus. But before we jump into that, I'm going to turn this on before we jump into that. There we go. Before we jump into that, though, I have a question for all of you guys. So I would love if you guys could take just 15 seconds, turn to the person next to you and share with them, what is the most exciting, favorite thing for you about Christmas? What is your favorite thing about Christmas? Just take 15 seconds, share with the person next to you. Awesome. Thank you, guys. If I can just get your attention back to me. I'm sure you can keep sharing later on, but what I would so love for you guys to do is to just have three or four of you right now just shout out and share what your favorite thing is about Christmas. Someone.
Family.
Perfect. Amazing. Anyone else? Food. Holidays. Movies, okay. Christmas movies for Jordan. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Christmas is an exciting time for us, for so many people. I understand that for some of us it's not super exciting, but I also know that there are some things that we love about Christmas, whether it's family and the good food that we get to eat and the time that we just get to spend with those that we love. Now, myself am a very big fan of Christmas. It's my favorite time of year. And I'm the kind of person that has put up their Christmas tree in November. I'm the kind of person who's humming Christmas songs all year long, but not too loudly in case I accidentally offend some people, Jordan. And I found a picture the other day from a couple of Christmases ago that I was spending with my family. And I just have to share it with you guys because I really feel like this picture highlights how much I love Christmas. So that is my siblings. Now, can anyone see where I am in this picture? This is just a couple of years ago. Yes, Christmas hat and all. When I say I love Christmas, I love Christmas. And I'm the kind of person that even now as an adult, on Christmas Eve night, I'm too excited to fall asleep because tomorrow's Christmas Day. All of these things are so true for me. But there's also been a really recent and really big shift that I've noticed as well in my joy for Christmas. And of all of these things about Christmas that I find exciting and awesome, they grow smaller each year because my joy and my excitement about Jesus and what he has done for us this Christmas, that we celebrate at Christmas time, that just grows bigger and bigger. I have had the deepest longing in my heart this week to make sure that when I stand up here this morning, I will take the opportunity that I have to remind every single one of us of the significance and the wonder and the importance of Christmas. That I will not let this opportunity pass for me to share about the power and the hope of the birth of Jesus and the significance that this should have in every single one of our lives. This is not a light or unimportant thing. This is not just some day that we celebrate with our families to eat good food and open nice presents. And of course, as someone who loves Christmas, I will say that that's not a bad thing, that they are good things. But I think that it's also really important for us to dwell in the understanding of what Christmas is really about. We need to sit in the weight and the significance of what God has done for us and just be reminded of that and rejoice in that. And not let Christmas Day pass without deeply and personally praising God for what he has done for us and what he continues to do because of his love shown to us and given to us through his son Jesus. I don't want us to miss that today, and I don't want us to miss that on Christmas Day either. Because when Christmas Day comes around, my longing is for all of us to be in that place where we know what the birth of Jesus is all about, and we know what God has done for us through the birth of Jesus, and that is something that we are dwelling in and we are resting in and we are rejoicing in this Christmas. Something that we know not just in our heads but also in our hearts. And so as we jump into today's sermon, I just want to take a moment and I just want to pray for us. Father God, thank you for what you have done, that Christmas is a reminder to us, Lord, of the love that you have for us and the life that you long and desire and call us into. Lord, as I share this morning the words that I believe that you have placed on my heart, Lord, I just pray that all hearts in this room, mine included, will be open, Lord, to what it is that you want to say and how it is that you want to move in us today. Lord, it is an exciting time to celebrate and to recognize who Jesus is to us, Lord, and what he has done for us through his life. And so may we celebrate this morning, Lord. May we have hearts of celebration and of worship as we come to hear your word and come to be in your presence today. In your name we pray. Amen. I was thinking about all of these different things this morning, over this past week. And as I was continuing to ponder on what Christmas is and how I love Christmas so much, and how it's moved from this place of not just excitement over gifts and times with family, but actual joy and longing to understand and to know and to experience God and what he has done for us in the life of Jesus. And I remembered that for some of us, Christmas is not an easy time of year. In fact, Christmas can be kind of tough for some of us, and it can feel like a struggle or even a burden to try and muster up some kind of happiness or peace this Christmas season. And for some of us, it's just been a big year, and we are just too tired to do Christmas this year. But as we gather here this morning, I want to encourage all of us to just come as we are. Whether you're excited for Christmas or you're feeling overwhelmed or you're feeling burdened about Christmas, the blessing that we have, the blessing of our God, is that he is a big God and he can handle whatever we're going through. Amen. So bring your joy and bring your tiredness, bring your burdens that you may be feeling. And as we worship together through God's word, may we remember that God's expectation is not for us to fix ourselves before we come to him, but to just come to him and allow him to move in our lives. Every Christmas morning, for as long as I can remember, my family has had this small tradition that we do. Before we open any of our presents and before we call it the opening to celebrating Christmas Day, because my little sister's born on Christmas Day, and so we usually spend the morning celebrating her birthday. And then we do this little tradition to start Christmas as a family. My mom has this little nativity glass set that she has, and every year on Christmas morning, she will get little baby Jesus, and someone in my family, usually one of my parents, go and they hide baby Jesus somewhere in the house. And then the rest of us, it's our job to then go and find him, for no other reason than simply you just got to find him. You don't get an extra present, you don't get to open your presents first, nothing. It's just we all get to go and find baby Jesus. And once we've found him, we then start our Christmas morning together, opening our gifts, spending time together, celebrating Christmas. And I've never really thought too much about this little tradition that we do until this year when I decided to actually spend some time reflecting on what I think that this means for me. I'm guessing that for my mum, it was always her fun way of trying to include Jesus in our Christmas morning, a little way for her to have to remind us of the importance and significance of what Christmas is really about. for my siblings, I imagine that most of us have not thought too much about it, like I haven't in the past. And it's just something that we know that we do every Christmas because it's just a tradition that we do. But this year, I want to use this tradition as a reminder for myself to not only focus on Jesus as the reason why I celebrate Christmas, but to also remember that God used his son Jesus to make a way for all of humanity, whether they're actively searching for him or not, to come and find him. God sent his son Jesus so that we could come and find all that God has for us. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says that when we seek to find God with all our heart, we will find him. That you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. When we look for our Heavenly Father, he will not hide himself from us. So despite our weariness from this year, our burdens we carry or our uncertainties that we have or our joys and our hopes that we are carrying into this Christmas season, let's choose to come and find him, to come and experience and to know our God this Christmas and to rejoice in his son Jesus, whose birth and life made all of that possible for us. All right, we're going to jump into this scripture that we have for today. And today we are going to be looking at the book of Matthew. And we're going to be reading from chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." The story of the birth of Jesus is a rich and powerful story, full of God's power and his authority through what he did in the fulfillment of his promise to humanity. It's a reminder of how he made a way for us to experience the glories and riches of his mercy and majesty in our lives. And I know that this particular passage occurs after the birth of Jesus, but it is still a part of what God is doing in the early years of Jesus' life. And this Christmas season isn't just a time for us to simply remember the story of Jesus' birth, but to dwell, like I've already said, in that place of understanding, of awe and gratitude of what God did for our sake by bringing his son Jesus here. An opportunity to recognize God, what God is doing now in our lives in this present day as a result of Jesus. And it's an opportunity for us to also look forward to what God is going to do as our King and as our Lord. This is an exciting story. This is a story that is full of hope and wonder. It is a powerful story that contrasts the difference between love and hope and fear and sin. And while the beginning of Jesus' life on earth was incredible, it also shows heartbreak and suffering as well, as we look at and as we'll explore a bit further in this passage. But we have the assurance from hindsight that this story has a powerful ending that isn't really an ending at all, but actually a beginning of the life that we now get to live with God. And so we're going to spend some time digging a little deeper into this passage and kind of pulling it apart a little bit to really help us to understand what is going on here. And so I'm going to start back at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Now we see here on this map where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Is that the laser? Yes, it is. Here we go. Where is it? There we go. Bethlehem, just there. We see that that is where Jesus was born. And the Magi, they came from the east. From what I understand, there isn't exactly 100% certainty on exactly where they came from, but we're going out this way here. Let me zoom out for us. There we go. So we have Jerusalem, Israel, Jordan all here, and we're thinking out this way here. Awesome. Just so we can get a bit of an understanding, a bit of an insight into where these guys are coming from where they're coming from, and the fact that it was not a short trip for them. It wasn't just like they heard about Jesus and they wandered over the hill and there they were 2 days later. This was a long journey for them. This was something that took energy and time and effort for them to come and see him. What we do know is that it's not a simple journey for them. In verse 7, it says that Herod found out that from the Magi, the exact time that Jesus when the star first appeared for them. And then later on, if we were to read past our main passage that we have today, we also read about how Herod made the law that all children 2 years old and under were to be killed because he wanted to remove the threat of this new king. And so from that, we can kind of gather that it's been at least a year, 2 years' time that these Magi have seen this star and they've prepared and they've come to meet this new Messiah. Let's continue reading. So the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born a king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now the title Magi is, in this time, applied to a range of people who had different practices such as dream interpretation, the study of sacred texts and writings, pursuing wisdom and magic, and also astrology as well. Now, given their understanding of the stars that had appeared and their desire to follow it, I believe that it's safe to assume that these particular men were probably astrologers who served in some of the temples searching for the stars for prophecies and omens. A big thing to recognize is that they were not Jews. But it is understood that these Magi would have most likely had access to a range of different information from near and far and wide, which helped them to gain knowledge and understanding about things in their field. So some of these scrolls and this information that they have would have told them about the Messiah's coming and how God would deliver his people through this Messiah. And so these foreigners who had their own king had obediently followed what they had read and learnt through the Torah and come to see this new king of the Jews, this baby, which means that they had gone on this long journey to find a king that didn't belong to them. And we know from this passage that when they found him, they worshipped him. This is important to understand because when we realize who these men are, the significance of what they're doing is powerful. These men who have come to worship Jesus were in the same category of people that in different parts of Scripture were denounced as their theology and practices were considered idolatrous. The example that I want to show us for today is from Isaiah 47, which speaks about the fall of Babylon. And in verses 13 to 15, it says, "All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power of the flame. These are not coals for warmth. This is not a fire to sit by. This is all they are to you. These you have dealt with and labored with since childhood." It fills me with wonder and hope to understand that God chose to call these men who didn't really know him or follow him to come and experience the power and authority of his son, Jesus. That God used the star to guide them to him. What a loving God we have. What a loving God we have who creates a way for even those from far away who do not know him to come and experience him. Amen. Christmas is a time for people to hear and experience the love of God that calls them to him. Let's keep reading. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all of Jerusalem with him. King Herod was also not a Jew, but someone who was appointed as king of the Jews under the authority of Rome. He was a mean man who did some mean things like killing his family members out of fear and mistrust. So sadly, it's no surprise when his response to what is going on is one of distraught. He knew that the Jews did not like him as king, and he was not loved or respected by his people. So to hear that a child had been born who is actually a Jew and is the new king, he must have been terrified. And it says all of Jerusalem with him as well. And I imagine that Jerusalem was distressed out of fear and uncertainty of what their ruthless, mean king was, how he was going to react to this news of a new king. And it seems that they had good reason to fear as well. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Now, this here seems crazy to me. These chief priests and teachers of the law, these men who would have known the prophecies that spoke about the Messiah coming, they knew what was going to happen and where. They knew the signs to recognize when it was going to happen. And even if they hadn't put two and two together by this point, when the Magi came and spoke to them, at that point, I imagine it definitely would have clicked with them. And yet their response saddens me. Why are they not dropping everything and going with the Magi to meet and worship this new king, this Messiah who they have been waiting and longing for? Why are they not rejoicing over what God has done? These men whose whole life is supposed to be dedicated to following and serving God. These men who know the prophecies that speak of what is going to happen, who know what this means, and who so easily recite to King Herod about who the Messiah is, why are they so indifferent? Why aren't they going to meet this Messiah as well, to see this child? The Magi, however, they were open to learning and seeking the truth. Even when it meant that they were led beyond their home to worship a king that was not their own. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were knowledgeable men who knew the Torah and the promise of a Messiah to come, and yet they were closed off to what God was doing because they expected God to move in their own understanding and to fit the ideas of what they wanted. They had put God inside this box of what was supposed to happen and how things would turn out. And when God did not fit in that box and he didn't do things the way that they thought would happen and the way that they wanted, when he did things his way, these chief priests and teachers of the law were not open to him. And it makes me sad. And it makes me realize that I don't want to become indifferent to God or unresponsive to him. I don't want to be blind to what he is doing in my life because I'm too caught up in what I think or what I want from him. Let's continue reading. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place the child was born. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I would like to touch on one thing in this last part of the passage, in verse 9, where it says, "And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was." This was no ordinary star. This was a star, a bright light that was moving. And it guided and it led the Magi to where Jesus was, stopping once it was above him. This star was drawing the Magi to the new king. How significant is that? How wonderful and amazing that God was using a star to guide the Magi to his son. These astrologers were being led by a sign in the sky that God knew that they would notice because of who they are. God spoke to these men who were fascinated by the stars in a way that they would understand. And he brought them to a place where they could worship and rejoice in the birth of Jesus. We have a good God. We have an incredible God who speaks to us in ways that we understand when we choose to be open to him and when we choose to listen and to see. I don't want us to be blind or indifferent like the chief priests and the teachers of the law. I don't want us to be afraid or angry of what might change like King Herod. I want us to choose to follow God, to respond to him reaching out to us and let him lead us closer to himself. I asked you all at the start of the message to think about what your favorite thing about Christmas is. Now, if I was to ask you guys what you think the most important thing about Christmas is, I'm sure that we would all agree that it's Jesus. But why is his birth so important? Why is it worth celebrating? Because it reminds us that our God is a God who keeps his promises. He promised that one day he would send a Messiah into the world to save the world and bring his people back to him, and he did. He promised that he loves us unconditionally and that he wants to draw us to himself. He promises that he will provide for us and equip us for his work. It also reminds us that God loves his children with a powerful love. A love so powerful that he sent his only son, Jesus, to the world so that we could know and receive his love. Romans 8, 38 to 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. And it is worth remembering and celebrating because it reminds us that God wants us to know him deeply and personally. Just as God used the star to lead these Magi to his son, he longs to draw each of us to him as well every single day. He is always moving and revealing himself. And when we make sure to pay attention, when we choose to listen, to seek him, he leads us to himself. But like the Magi, following the different stars in your life, be like the Magi. Follow the different stars that are in your life that God is using to draw you to him. Don't be indifferent. God reveals his heart towards humanity through his son, Jesus. And it reminds us of the life that God calls us to step into and to live with him, to know who he is, to love him through the way that we live, to follow him as he leads us closer to himself. These are the truths of Christmas. These are the truths of what celebrating Christmas is all about. So in your life right now, how are you entering into Christmas? How are you choosing to end 2024? Is it in the understanding and thankfulness of what God has done and in hope and expectation of what is to come as you choose to continue to seek Him and focus on Him and follow Him? Or is it in doubt and uncertainty of the truth of God's promises in your life, of the power of His mercy and His grace? Are you living in disinterest or apathy of all that God has done and is still doing? I don't want to be apathetic this Christmas and miss the majesty and power of God. I don't want to be blind to the significance of what God has done through the birth of Jesus. And I don't want to be blind to what God is doing in me and around me through what has been made possible in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and what God is going to do one day through the return of Jesus. And I don't want that for each of us either. When Jesus calls his disciples to him, he says, "Come, follow me." And he speaks these words to all of us. Come to Jesus this Christmas and be still in the knowledge and the understanding of what he has done. Be still and remember that God drew the Magi to himself and they responded in praise and worship. Don't become indifferent this Christmas and just know these truths in your head but not respond in your heart. Don't let yourself get caught up in the day of Christmas and forget the significance of what we are celebrating. Choose to respond to what God is showing us this Christmas season, to the way that God is speaking to our hearts and revealing himself to us and making himself known through his son Jesus and what Christmas is all about. Choose to be actively aware of the presence of God in your life this Christmas, in the lives of those that you are celebrating Christmas with. And use this Christmas as a reminder to give thanks to God for all that he has done. Our loving, faithful, wonderful, powerful, merciful Father, who sent his son Jesus into a broken and hurting world so that we may know his light and gain his light in us. Let that light shine this Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you have sent so that we may know your love and walk in relationship with you. Father, we thank you for what you have done through the birth of Jesus, Lord, that you have made a way for us to come and know you, Lord, but not just to come and know you, Lord, but you also draw us to you. Lord, you speak to us and you reveal yourself to us and you draw us to yourself. May we not be blind to that this Christmas. May our hearts be open, Lord, to wanting to experience you and to know your grace and your mercy, your forgiveness, your peace and your joy, Lord. May we be drawn to you, Lord, this Christmas, to rejoice in who you are and the promises that your bringing your Savior, Jesus, to this world reveals to us, Lord, that you are a good God, that you have good things for your children, that you do not forsake us, that you do not leave us, that you are our strength, Lord, and that you keep your promises. Help us to remember that this Christmas, Lord, and may our hearts be softened to you. May your Holy Spirit come and move in us. And Lord, we just pray that as we come into Christmas Day, that we may remember and rejoice in who you are and what you have done. In your name we pray. Amen.